Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Boy, are you ready for the word this morning? Sister Mary Baldwin came up to me during worship and said, you know, as we get into integrity in this series, I hear the Lord saying, do not hold up a stop sign, but rather a go sign in front of me on integrity. And instead of raising a barrier, as I call you to higher living, raise a banner. Because my banner over you is love. Father, we open our hearts to you. We open our minds, Lord, our very spirit to you. We give you permission to call us into higher living because the message we carry is so important. And Lord, it is our manner of life. It is our attitude and our actions towards others that gives value to the message that we carry. So we give you permission, sir, just gird us up in truth. And may we walk in integrity even as you are integrity. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. Or if you have an app on your phone, you want to use that. Let's hold them up in unity and let's say this together. This is my Bible. We are who it says we are. We can do what it says we can do. By God's grace, we are people of integrity, people of character, people of prayer, and people of destiny. Amen. We're going to begin a brand new series on matters of integrity. That's what we're talking about, matters of integrity. Why? Because integrity matters. And the Lord said of 2019, here's the word he gave us. Leaders and ambassadors are made when we enter into kingdom connections. That's spirit-directed relationships. Everybody know what I mean by that? Spirit-directed relationships. And then we get developed in identity, integrity, and intimacy with Jesus. Leaders and ambassadors are made when we enter into kingdom connections, spirit-directed relationships, and get developed in identity, integrity, and intimacy with Jesus. Well, we spent the first half of this year being developed in our identity. We started with the origin series, you know, who we came from, where we're going, what we were fashioned for. We even did in discovery groups the big I on identity. Then we moved into all things new and how Jesus flipped the script. Everything Adam messed up, he made it right in the spirit. We've also done discovery groups this year on intimacy. I believe that was going deep is what that was called. And now the Lord moves us into integrity because he wants us to be developed not just in our identity, but in integrity, and that we're ever growing in intimacy with him. A big part of God's will for our lives is the development of our character and our integrity. And I wish it were true. I wish you heard messages and series and encouragement on integrity way more than you do, but we don't hear it very often. And I'm even speaking within the body of Christ. But this is a big part of God's will for us. Romans 8:29 says we're all predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Okay, so we're all on that same path to look like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to live and minister like Jesus. So you can be born again, you can be highly gifted, you can be talented, you can be super smart, and have very little integrity manifesting in your life. But I'm here to tell you, God is more interested in your manner of life than your mission in life. He is. He's more interested in who you're becoming as a person in him than what you achieve. Listen to me, I'm going to say it again. God's more interested in who you're becoming in him, in Christ-like character and holiness and purity and just a wonderful, wonderful person, just a God-loving, God-fearing, God-developed human being. He's more interested in that than what you achieve for him. Amen. Amen. So congratulations. I release you from all the pressure to go out and achieve something great. If you'll be in him, you'll be and do great things. Amen. Amen, somebody. Success, think about it. Success in God's eyes is who you're becoming in him. Knowing him, isn't that what John 17:3? This is eternal life. This is the shooting match that they would know you, the one and only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's success in Christianity, not what we achieve. Amen. Now, integrity isn't easy. Can I get a witness on that? It's not something you're born with. I wish it was a gift of the Spirit. Brian, do you have the gift of integrity? I hope I get that one. You're not born with it. It's developed over time. Integrity is developed over time. That's why he said you're predestined. Your destiny is to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So it's a process. Everybody say it's a process. It is challenging or everybody would be doing it. And there's a reason you never hear the word even integrity that much anymore in our culture, even during elections. I mean, it's scarce. We get to hear about how this guy's got a big plan and this woman can do this and do that for her country. But how much do we hear, wow, this candidate, a man of devout, stout integrity. You just don't hear that. But you do hear, I got a plan. But what if God's more interested in who we're becoming than what we're achieving, than our big plans and big ideas? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, it's true. Most people probably believe, well, I think it's just too far out there. Integrity is too far away. We can't do it. But God is preparing us. God's preparing us as a church family, as a body. That's why he's saying, man, open your ears and hear, because I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. What's near and dear to my heart. And what's near and dear to him is that as we move forward and we mature and we progress, that when people see us, they see him. My goodness. He's developing us. He's preparing us. Why? So we'll always remember that the person that we're becoming is more important than what we're achieving. And I couldn't help but think, you know, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about church plants and how that might unfold. 1 Corinthians 3:10. There's a reason Paul said, be careful how you build. He did not say, be careful what you build. Who cares? But he did say, be careful how you do it. What's your heart in extending my kingdom? What's your motive in putting a kingdom outpost in Yukon or Shawnee? What's your heart in it? Be careful, he said, how you build something, not what. What you build will be burned up if it's not him, if it's not from him and his heart and his motive. How often do we hear in our culture, man, that guy can play, man, he's so good at football. Or man, that guy can really throw a baseball. Or wow, that guy, he's a great leader. Even in churches we hear, man, she can sing. Man, he can preach. Man, that person can witness. But we hear so little about the celebration of integrity and character. And yet I'm telling you, it should be celebrated. Integrity and character ought to be celebrated. More than our talents and our gifts. Wow. Lord, we are listening. He is preparing you because there are tests of success. I know the enemy will try to hold you back from things, but you know what else he'll do? He'll also push you way ahead of God's schedule. If he knows that your character can't keep you where your gifts have taken you. How many musicians, how many singers, how many athletes do we see their gift took them way further than their gift could keep them? Who cares if the guy's a great running back, if he's beating up his wife in an elevator? God's more interested in who he's becoming than what he's achieving. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. Boy, that's the truth. I feel the Holy Spirit in this house. Let's grab a hold. I told so many people this week, I love how he leads us corporately. He loves us, doesn't he? He loves us. He loves us enough to challenge us. He challenged me a couple of weeks ago. Steve, don't live with the mindset that, well, you're just going to fail. My scripture says, if you stumble, you have an advocate. It didn't say when you do. If you stumble, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So I've shifted my mindset. I don't want to just placate to, well, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall. I'll show you scripture where if you walk in these things, you allow yourself to be developed in these things, you'll never stumble. Brother Ed Kinchelow, right here on the fourth row, told me the other day, you're the first pastor I've ever heard say that we could live a life without stumbling. Brethren, it ought not to be so. Why? Because God's more interested in who we're becoming in character and integrity, resembling him, than what we're achieving for him. But it seems like everything we hear is about mission, mission, mission in life. What is your manner of life? What is your attitude? What is your action? What is your demeanor? Because as the Lord told me, he said, Steve, the enemy cannot discredit my message, but he will definitely try to discredit my messengers. And he said, I'll always love you, no matter what mistakes you make. But people are not that way. And I need you to have credibility with people because you carry my message. Amen, man. My goodness. Integrity should be celebrated because God's plan is that you get born again, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you live like Jesus. Oh Lord, make us a people of prayer. Make us a people of integrity. Make us a people who love quiet time and alone time. Make us a people of peace, Lord. Make us a people who long for truth. Make us a people who long to be in our prayer closet, who long to know you and be face to face with you every day. Make us a people who chose, like Mary, the good part, to sit at your feet, Lord, instead of running out and trying to accomplish something for you. I promise you, if you will do that, if you'll fall in love with him and you'll devote your life to him and you'll actually become disciplined. I know, don't run out of the room, but live a disciplined life. You'll bear more fruit than you ever thought possible. Henry Nguyen said this, without discipline, the spirit life is impossible. We must be people of the spirit. We must be people of the scripture. Face to face with him. Maybe I'll do it in the series. I don't know, but I've written some staunch reformations in my prayer journal that the Lord gave me. I'll go ahead and share it with you. One of the things he had said, and Stacy and I were talking about this last night, as a matter of fact, that I can almost go into my prayer time because I've done it for so long and just turn my listening ear on. Remember, I used to talk all the time. And then he said, Steve, you talk too much. And if one of us ought to be talking, it should probably be me. Because I already know you. But you need to know me. Okay, now I learn to listen. I don't talk near as much. But I can listen so much. I'll just listen and write and the Lord will encourage me and all that. He said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay your pen down and spend time just in my presence. Let me love on you. Let me wrap my arms around you. I don't want anything from you. Don't write anything down. I think that's abiding. I think that's staying connected and tethered to the truth. And isn't it beautiful that he would say, I care more about you than what you do for me. We do this, we'll change this whole area. The Lord will. If we choose him and we begin to just abide with him and be face to face with him and recognize he loves you for who you are. He loves you more than for what you can run out and do for him. He'll do some pretty great things. I mean, you'll walk into Walmart and people will be like, man, who is that? The glory of the Lord. Isn't it written in 2 Corinthians 3 that the glory of the old covenant was so great that Moses had to veil his face? How much greater, he said, is the glory of the new. So we want to be able to sit at his feet. And I know there's stuff to be done, but I'm telling you, he's calling us to himself. It's a summer of devotion. We devote ourselves to him. I remember I had that word for a pastor at a pastor's conference I was at. And this guy who was praying, man, and he seemed really stressed about the church where he was pastoring, about their finances and their attendance. And he was just feeling the weight of how things were going. And the Lord said, would you give him this word for me? And I said, absolutely. And the word was, I love you more than what you do for me. Learn to rest in me, because I want to spend time with you. Isn't that awesome that the Lord just wants to spend time with us? I think as we abide, remember that was the command in John 15, to abide, not to bear fruit. So as we abide and we're face to face with him, you know what else he told me? I just tell him myself. He said, don't skip a day. Don't skip a day. I miss you when you skip a day. And the only reason I ever skip a day with the Lord in my journal is because I'm in a hurry. But now I've reversed my priorities. All that'll get taken care of one way or the other. He's my priority. And can he redeem time? He can. Ephesians says he can. Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter 2. Let's get into 2 Peter 1. Let's get into God's word. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. In the Passion Translation. Boy, is this bearing witness with anybody? I feel like, as Brother Clay said, I just feel like we're in his hands this morning. Look at this. Passion Translation, 2 Peter 1, verse 2. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you. Amen. Everybody receive that? Believe it? Grace and perfect peace. Let it cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion. There it is. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited inside us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who's called us by, my goodness, who's called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Woo, that's anointed. Complete devotion is what he says. True followers of Jesus, remember a few weeks ago, are devoted, developed, and deployed. True followers of Jesus. We want to live as ambassadors. So number one, we're devoted, we're developed, we're deployed. So devoted followers of Christ abide in Jesus daily. That's what we're talking about. And then we get developed followers of Jesus are transformed by him daily. In other words, Lord, we want to live in integrity. We want to resemble you. And then we get deployed, and that means we live out the call of Jesus daily. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, I believe it. If you'll live a devoted life and you'll really connect into him, you're going to get developed. You can't be looking at him and not be changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, by the Spirit, you're going to be changed. And then you'll be deployed. He'll get you where you're supposed to be. Jacob Sheriff, which is Pastor Dwayne's son, shared down at Durant. Here's what he said. Tether yourself to Jesus Christ. So tether is a rope that you tie to anchor yourself to something. And he said, we need to tether ourselves to Jesus Christ because we're too tethered to the world. Now, that's a true statement. Amriel has had a couple of words, not just her. I think there were a couple of others. But at Prayer Shield for the last month, the Lord keeps saying, you're too anchored to the world. You need to be anchored to me. What's the thing when you go rappelling, the little clamp? What's that called? What? Carabiner. Carabiner. Seriously, a carabiner. Is that right, Brian? Are they a carabiner? I'm casting down a lot of thoughts. Yeah. Nope. Don't say that. Nope. Don't say that. Nope. Don't say that. A carabiner. So at Prayer Shield, what she saw was the body of Christ continues to clamp on to the mountains of the world. And the Lord's saying, clamp on to me. So I think that's an accurate statement. We're too tethered to the world. And he told the story of a farmer up north. And many farmers up north will tie a rope when they hear that blizzards are coming, because they have whiteouts and all that kind of crazy snow. So the farmer tied a rope from his house to the barn, and then he would tether himself to the rope so he wouldn't get lost in the whiteout and lose his way and then freeze to death. So he would tether himself. He would anchor himself to that rope. Amen? And here's what he said. Brother Jacob said, we're in the midst of a blizzard in America of information and technology. Everybody in this room's got a phone on them, right? That phone will do more than what that first CPU would do. I mean, we've gone light years ahead of where we used to be in a quick time. It's a blizzard of information, technology, and distraction. How many of you honestly have ever had the thought, I wonder if the powers that be like to keep us distracted so that we don't actually notice what they're doing? Well, then it's the Holy Ghost. He's the one telling us that. But we're in the midst of a blizzard, and he said this, tethers are disciplines. Disciplines that tie you to a continual intimacy with Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. That's the Steve Eden version of what he said. But tethers are disciplines that tie you to continual intimacy with Jesus. Because he said, we need this awareness of Jesus every day. Listen to this statement. Because without an awareness of Jesus, we tend to be driven by distraction, habit, and routine. That's so true. If we're not tethered to him, if we're not starting the day and invoking discipline that, you know what, I'm not just going to be bumped over here and bumped over here and this call took me here and this, you know, we used to work 40 hours a week and then we got cell phones. Now we work 60 because we never put the thing down. So if you're not tethered to Jesus, practicing and awakening that awareness of him every day, you're disciplined. I'm going to eat on him. Eat his flesh and drink his blood every day. Then instead you'll be led by distraction, habit, and routine. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of ready for a change. Amen. I'm kind of ready for a change. You too. This is the heart of the Lord, isn't it? He's speaking to us. And not even all those things are evil. They're not even necessarily bad, but Jesus wants us walking with an awareness of him all day long. The Lord wants us, his church, walking with an awareness of his presence all day long. And that we're not bumped in the blizzard here or there or everywhere. We are tethered and anchored to him. That's his desire. We want a purpose to be the kind of person we want other people to be. We're going to purpose, we're going to have discipline, keep this in front of us, to be the person we want other people to be. Because our tendency is, God, fix them. Or our tendency is, we're going to go lay some harsh words on them. Well, by God, you better... No, just purpose to be the person you want them to be. Amen. Let them see the person in you want them to be. That is good, isn't it? We're going to purpose to be the person we want other people to be and to see, because we want them to see him. Well, if they're going to see him, you're going to need to have face-to-face time with the master. You're going to have to spend time in his presence and have some discipline about your spiritual life. Amen. That's so good. You know, at your work and at your school that people are in the same blizzard that you are. Everybody in this culture is in this blizzard. And wouldn't it be necessary then that we are people of boundaries and discipline and that are tethered to the truth? There's got to be somebody in the blizzard who's holding the rope. And it should be us. I'm telling you, everybody out there is in the same blizzard. Information, technology, and distraction. The newest, the latest, the greatest, whatever's on TV, movies, Netflix, whatever it is, new music, whatever it is, they're all in the blizzard. How about kids? Soccer, baseball, football. I mean, we're running all over creation. So somebody's got to be tethered to the truth. So it may as well be us. And I use the word, I don't know if you caught it. I think it's out of necessity. Out of necessity, somebody in this culture has got to be tethered to the truth and be people who have boundaries and disciplines. Because have you noticed that our culture wants to live without boundaries? They don't want boundaries on anything. Don't tell me I can't do that. Well, you're going to kill yourself if you do. You're going to hurt yourself. You hurt your family. If you do that, it's all in how we say it. That's why I say, listen to me again, that it's your actions and your attitude, it's the spirit of your life that gives value to your words. And if we run out and we don't really know Jesus very well and we don't carry his compassion that would cause him to die for every human being on this planet in their brokenness. If we don't carry that, we'll hurt some people. So we got to be able to speak the truth, yes, but we want to do it in love. Your spirit and your heart is more important than what you're saying. But we do need to say it. It gives value, I guess I should say. It gives value. Your heart and spirit and demeanor gives value to what you say. All right, verse 4, did I get there yet? Verse 4, as a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these promises, you can experience, look at this, partnership with the divine nature, by which you've escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. There's corrupt desires in the world, people. What are some of the promises God's given us that allow us to participate with his divine nature? Because don't miss that. You get to do this. You get to participate with God's divine nature. Only when you're good enough? Only when you're perfect? No. Anytime you choose and you act on faith, you can participate with the divine nature of the Almighty. So how do we do this? What are the promises he gave you that allow you to do it? Revelation 1:5, you're washed in his blood. Think on that. Selah. You're washing his blood. Your righteousness is of me, not you. Isaiah 54:17. My goodness. You're at peace with God. Romans 5:1. All your sins are forgiven. Colossians 1:14. This is how we participate with God's divine nature. How about this? Born again with an incorruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:23. The righteousness of Christ in you cannot be corrupted. The seed of Christ in you cannot be corrupted. That's how you participate with the divine nature of the Almighty. And if you do a big piece of stupid, please renew your mind back to how righteous and incorruptible that seed is. Because only then will you not do another one and another one and another one. You got to renew your mind to the truth. Amen. So, if you're born again, you have the divine nature of the Almighty. That's the DNA of God, by the way. Divine nature of the Almighty inside of you. Guard against worldly lust, because God has saved you from self-centeredness that destroys everything. Amen. You've been delivered from self-centeredness that corrupts everything, and now you're translated to God-centeredness. Verse 5. Here it is again. So, devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness. I just don't know that we can get away from devoting ourselves and incorporating some discipline. And I like what Sister Gretchen has said before and a couple of others, that If you'll make the choice out of discipline initially, it'll move to desire, and then it'll be a delight. Because He is your reward. He is your reward, and you will delight in Him. If you know Him and you see Him, you will delight in Him. Amen, somebody? But too often we try to go by our feelings. Well, I don't feel like meeting with Jesus today. Okay, but discipline. I'm a disciplined person. I want to be a man of integrity. So Lord, I purpose to meet with you. I said I'd meet with you every day. Integrity just means one. I haven't even got to that yet, but the word integrity means one, that your actions are one with your words. So if I say, Lord, I'm not going to skip a day, guess what I'm going to not do? Skip a day. Integrity. So that's where discipline comes in. But that discipline becomes desire, and then it becomes delight. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding. Oh yeah, this is all good here. Here we go. We're adding to these things. And to understanding, add the strength of self-control. We're hearing some awesome words this morning. Integrity, discipline, self-control. You think the body of Christ could use some of these? Are we known in the world as people of discipline, integrity, and self-control? I don't think so. Not that we care what others think more than what God thinks. But I do think this is a word for us. This is a word from our Father. So we add understanding, and to understanding, we add self-control, and self-control, we add patient endurance, and to patient endurance, we're going to add godliness. The godliness will add mercy towards your brothers and sisters, and to mercy, we're going to add toward others unending love. Since these virtues are already planted deep within you. Isn't that awesome? That you already have them all. Because when you got Christ, He has them all. And where's He living? In you, in your spirit, man. So I'm not saying go run out and be holy. Good luck with that. I'm saying it's time to start acknowledging the holiness that's in you. The intimacy and the oneness you have with integrity Himself. We don't run out and go have some integrity. He's in you. The one who is integrity is in you, and He brought everything you need for life and godliness. What we lack is discipline and just the dedication to make that commitment. He's not going to choose for you. Have you figured that out yet? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So all these you possess in abundant supply, and they'll keep you from being inactive. Could we even say distracted? They'll keep you from being fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. This is the word for us, Grace Church. This is it. But if anyone lacks these things, he's blind. He's closed his eyes to the mysteries of our faith. Look at this. He's forgotten how innocent he is. For his past sins have been washed away. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're dirty, you're unclean, you're no good. God doesn't want anything to do with you. Then you won't be adding. Then you won't be adding virtue and godliness and brotherly kindness, because he got you locked back here in your past somewhere. And you're in the wrong time zone. So if he locks you in your past, he'll render you ineffective in the present. And in the present, we need to be adding to our faith. Amen? It's a stunning statement that if we're not developing in these, we've forgotten how clean we are. Wow. Verse 10, for this reason, beloved ones, be eager to confirm and validate that God has invited you to salvation and He's claimed you as His own. You belong to Him. Make your call and election sure, the New King James says. Be sure of it. Be certain. Be undaunted. And have some discipline so that when you don't feel like it, you're still certain and undaunted. If you do these things, you will never stumble. My goodness. Father, shift our thinking. Shift our thinking. If we do these things, we'll never stumble. As a result, the kingdom's gates will open wide to you as God choreographs your triumphant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah. You enter into kingdom life in these. This is the Spirit-led life, because the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. So you enter into the Spirit-led life. And Henry Nguyen again said, without discipline, without that decision, that commitment, and it's not a one-timer. Amen, somebody? It's not a one-time decision. It's not a one-time surrender. It's ongoing. Without that, the spiritual life is impossible, Henry Nguyen said. Jeremy, you guys can come. Hallelujah. Well, we didn't get real far. We did get far, didn't we? I want to say this, and we'll close this up. These virtues here in 2 Peter 1, these virtues are already yours, okay? You possess them. We're going to start acknowledging that we have them and participating with them. And maybe offer some thanksgiving. Lord, thank you that I have the strength of self-control because of you. Lord, thank you that I have virtue and goodness. I have love and mercy for my brothers and sisters because of you. You live in me, so I yield to that. And you know, we go down this list, you say, well, I don't even know what all those mean. I don't even know what they all are. Then get with your small groups and go dig them all out. I have an hour with you once a week. You got Jesus 24/7. You got small groups. You got discovery groups. You got discipleship. You got your friends at work, whoever it is. Get with some people and dig them out. Define them. Email me. Tell me what they all mean. Then I'll know you've been at it. Does that make sense? I can't do everything for you. But if we're going to be a mature body, a developing body, and a body that raises up shepherds and leaders and ambassadors, then there'll be some digging you'll do on your own. Amen? And you can do it. Be disciplined in it. And if you're like me and my son Joshua and you don't want to do anything by yourself, call your best friend or get with your small group and say, hey, let's dig these out. You know that scripture in Peter, virtue and goodness. Let's find out what they all mean. Sound good? Will you stand with me? Church, we're on the precipice of great things. Great things. This is all preparation. It's all preparation. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind, if you're okay with it, would you open your hands unto the Lord, even as I'm doing? It's a posture of surrender. Because I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, it's not by might or power. It's not human effort. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. But as you choose me, and you continue to choose me, you will bear much fruit. Father, we thank you all over this room for face-to-face, heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit dialogue, even thought-to-thought, and for a supernatural availability, Lord, throughout the day, that we're available to you and we're aware of you, that we're not lost in the blizzard of distraction. I also hear the Spirit of the Lord say this morning, it doesn't matter where you've been in regard to integrity before today. Boy, listen to me. This is the Spirit of the Lord. It doesn't matter where you've been in regard to integrity before today. But I do ask today, let's begin again. Boy, if that's you, I want you to receive it. Father, we receive the anointing and the grace to walk this out. Your empowering presence to do what we couldn't do without you. And to be what we couldn't be apart from you. Let the grace of God fall like rain in this room. Let it fall like rain in this room. Alighting upon each one, Lord, to walk what our heart longs to do. And Lord, if there are those that are here and their heart is not turned, I ask that you turn it. Turn their heart towards you. Brother Jeremy, just sing over us just for a moment. Let the Holy Spirit, if he needs to turn your heart, let him turn your heart. But if your heart is turned, receive the grace of God, the strength of self-control. Oh yes, Lord. The reformations he wants to bring. The disciplines he wants to bring to you.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.